Hi, you're listening to the Chain Reaction Podcast, all about supply chain advantage. I'm Tony Hines, and it's great to be here. Now, when we get to the start of a new year, people make all kinds of promises to themselves about what they're going to do in the year ahead. But if there's one thing you need to think about carefully, it's yourself and your career, and how you're going to plan and develop that career. And so today's episode is all about personal development and what you can do yourself to make sure that you get the right sort of personal development to develop the career that you want. So for example, in supply chain management, you'll need to develop all kinds of skills that will help you develop that career to get you the right kind of job and the right kind of experience, which is more important than the job itself. So gaining the right kind of experience is essential. And experience counts because it's experience that teaches us not only the skills and develops those skills, but it also gives us wisdom because we know how to respond in given circumstances when things happen, when the unexpected happens, or even when the expected happens. We're able to use our wisdom to see a way through. So stick around and find out more. So let's take a look. When we talk about management skills, what are management skills? Well, people describe them as a collection of abilities, and abilities which develop capabilities would be my definition. And they include things such as planning, decision-making, problem-solving, communication, delegation, and time management. And that's just at the surface level. Different roles in different organizations will require a different mix of skills, and we often refer to those as skill sets. Management skills help professionals to stand out, and you can excel no matter what your level. And if you've got management skills that are appropriate in the setting in which you're working, the role you have, you'll be noticed by others. There's no doubt about that. And if those skills are valuable, the company will want to retain you, and they may even want to promote you. Good management skills are often in short supply, but they are vital for any organization to succeed and achieve its goals or objectives. A manager who fosters management skills is able to propel the company's mission and achieve the vision set by those in charge, if you're not one of them. Leadership develops from having skill, and it's often management skills that propel us to positions of leadership. We need to be able to plan. We need interpersonal skills to persuade people to do things in the right way, or things we want them to do when they don't look so attractive. Management skills are needed in every position, whether you're a supervisor, a manager, a senior manager, or at board level. You'll need management skills. So there's something for everybody in today's program. And if you're a student looking to build a career, this episode will be particularly important for you to think about the skills that you can develop and how you can develop them during your early career. And of course, if you're a middle manager, there may be skills that you listen to on this program today and think, I need to do more to improve those skills. And if you're a senior manager, could be the same for you. And if you're on the board, presumably you have some management skills, or you probably wouldn't be there, but it might be a nice refresher to think about these things so that you can develop the talent that you have inside the organization. So let's get started. Well, you might wonder where the terminologies come from, and they come from ancient philosophers. When we think about the techne, that was really all about Aristotle's approach to life. And when we talk about idealism, that was Plato's approach. And they were thought processes. And managers need to possess both. Managers will have thinking capabilities, and they will also have some technical skills. And both are important to develop yourself in the roles that you have. I've worked with many managers over the years to help them develop their personal skill sets. And when you talk to people, quite often they think there's some magic toolkit or a magic box that will help them deliver things instantaneously. And you have to tell them that, well, it's not really quite like that. There isn't any magic skill set as such, but there are skill sets that you can learn and develop through practice, through experience, and they will serve you well when faced with the challenges that you meet in your everyday job or role. And so, first of all, let's start where they probably begin. They think there's a technical skill set, and they're right to think that. There are technical skills, and these are skills that managers develop, their abilities and their knowledge to use a variety of techniques to achieve specific objectives. And these skills are not necessarily just operating machines or pieces of software or production tools, pieces of equipment, but there are other skills, soft skills, to persuade people to perform better, to do things better, to help support the organization, to motivate people, to boost sales, to boost output, to increase productivity, and to market the services and the products that the firm has. Those are all technical skills. Finance, budgeting is a technical skill. And those are the sort of skills that we would refer to as technical skills to improve performance. And they come, as we said, from the ancient philosopher Aristotle, this idea of a technical skill set. The conceptual skills come from Plato, in a sense, because these are skills that managers develop to think in an abstract way, to formulate ideas, to conceptualize about what's happening, to understand. And the manager is able to see the big picture, the entire totality of a concept, to analyze, to diagnose a problem, and to find creative solutions. And this is how managers become effective. And they often will have shortcuts, what academics might call heuristics, shortcuts to a solution. And those shortcuts don't just come instantly. They're developed through time, through experience, and through use. Daniel Kahneman talked about thinking fast, thinking slow. And in that particular work, thinking fast, thinking slow, thinking fast is probably a heuristic that you very quickly see a problem and work out a solution that you can put into action quickly. And humans have the ability to do things quickly in that sense, and that might be developed out of a technical skill that you've developed over time to respond to a situation that perhaps you've experienced before. Whereas thinking slow is the idea that you analyze in detail and come to some conceptual understanding that helps you think about the problem in a different way to find a solution. And so that's an articulation in practice of thinking fast, thinking slow. Planning involves both technical skills and, of course, conceptual skills. You need both, because when you plan something, you normally set an objective or you're given an objective to achieve, and then you need to plan resources, assemble those resources, combine them in particular ways so as to achieve the given outcome that's desired. And that is a particular skill. It's not just the knowledge of planning that will help you. You need the skill. And people quite often don't mention implementation as a skill, but it is, because it's all very well to plan something, but to actually deliver it, to implement it and see it come to fruition is another skill, and it demands different skills from those which are purely planning. To implement something, you need practical skills. You need the practical skills of Aristotle. You need to understand what's involved, who's involved, how they can combine effectively, and how they can achieve the objective. And you need to be able to motivate people to come together, to work together as a team, and to leverage their abilities, their capabilities, combine them in such a way that the outcome is bigger than the parts. And that's what people call synergy. When we talk about conceptualization, what we actually mean by the term is that we think about something in a particular way. We unpick it, we analyze it, we understand it. And through the understanding, we might put the things, assemble the parts back together in a different form. So instead of the original form that we saw the problem or issue appear, we unpick it in such a way that we understand it better and are able to conceptualize how it works and how we can interject to put things back, perhaps differently, in such a way that we would say we've reconceptualized, we've remodeled, we've reworked what's going on. And of course, that's how innovation occurs in all types of organization. Innovation occurs by understanding the problem in a deeper way, in the thinking slow way, as Daniel Kahneman might have said, and by thinking it through carefully, analyzing every aspect, and assembling resources and parts back together in a different way, we've created a new understanding, a new conceptualization, and we've been innovative in our thinking. To be an effective manager, you have to be a good communicator, and communication skills can be learned. You may have a natural talent for communicating things effectively. You might have learned that skill through your life, talking to your brothers and sisters, your peers, your family members, your colleagues at work, through the teams that you play sport with, but you might have learned some of those skills and developed them outside of a work environment. And then inside the work environment, those skills will serve you well because you're able to communicate, you know what perhaps motivates people, you've got an understanding of how people behave given certain stimuli or certain responses, or the way in which you communicate with them, the style, the approach, the personalization. And of course, you'll need some social capital in demonstrating that you are someone who can lead the team. So it demonstrates leadership in that sense. Now, not all managers are leaders, but leadership can be quite an important skill to develop. And some of the things you have to do, you may have to run a team meeting and you'll have to plan. You'll have to invoke other skills such as planning. You'll have to set an agenda for that meeting. You'll have to keep the meeting focused. You'll have to motivate people during the meeting so that they will achieve things beyond the meeting. And you'll have to encourage and you'll have to identify training needs amongst the people perhaps at the meeting and suggest ways in which they can become better at what they do. And most people are receptive to that because they want to learn, they want to be better, and they want to participate, and they want to make a contribution to the team. So it's about understanding those things and that pool of skill that you have to develop, that particular skill set, to communicate effectively with your team members. If you're an ineffective communicator, you will never be a good manager. So if you understand that you have a weakness in that area, it's time to plug it. It's time to develop the skill. And everybody can develop better communication skills. Being self-aware is an important skill. Knowing how you impact a situation, how your behavior can impact a situation, and how to improve your behavior in social contexts, in meetings, in discussion, through communication, written or spoken, is all part of the self-awareness process. And you can cultivate this self-awareness so that it becomes a powerful tool in your armory of management skills. And self-awareness, of course, is something that you need if you are to develop emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence is the idea that you can understand any given situation in such a way that you understand the impact on individuals and on the team of any actions that are taken. And you're aware of the skill sets of the team members so that when you're choosing people to perform a particular task, you might make those choices in a different way if you're a manager with emotional intelligence, because you're sensitive to the needs of individuals and the team members, as well as the team. Now, if you think about self-awareness, it's also an essential skill to avoid prejudice. So to take things on their merits, to see things in a way that's not prejudicial, and that enables you to work more effectively with a variety of team members who may bring different skills to the party but may not necessarily behave or act in such ways that you yourself might act or would value. But nevertheless, the diversity in approach might be very rewarding if it can be cultivated in a good manner without prejudice. Recognizing the different skill sets that your team members bring is an important part of being a manager. It helps you to utilize human resource effectively. Some people are naturally more creative. Some are more communicative. Some less so. Some are deeper thinkers. Some are very practical in their approach. And so this variety of skills that individuals might bring into the team need to be recognized, nurtured, and harnessed to achieve objectives. Meetings with team members are all part of the process, and you want those members to feel that they can speak at those meetings and contribute to the development of ideas, so you'd encourage them to do that in a public meeting. But at the same time, you need to stay focused, and that's why we have an agenda And that's also why we focus our attention and give perhaps time slots to discuss a particular topic so that we can close things down and stay focused. And if everybody understands how those meetings are run, the meeting will be more effective. So having effective meetings and having an environment in which those effective meetings take place, which everybody understands, is essential. You may also have one-to-one meetings with your team members so as to motivate them, understand what they want from being part of the team, being part of the organization, and that helps you understand what motivates them. And if you understand what motivates them, you can also dangle carrots in front of them that will help them achieve their goals. And good managers do that. They don't just dangle the carrot, they actually give them the carrot. So it might be a training course, it might be some time, some workaround that they need, but whatever it is, you need to understand what's going on with the individuals and the team members. And that way you build your own social capital as the manager of the team. And it's important in every aspect to be this good, effective communicator. And of course, by observation, those team members will develop skills that they learn directly from you. And therefore, to be a role model is important in that sense. And also, team members may need to be mentored. And the mentoring process won't necessarily be done by the team leader in all cases. It might be by other members of the team, depending on their skill sets and what they actually need to develop. Management is best described neither as a science nor art, but rather as social science, which is somewhat different, as I will explain. It represents a way of thinking, a way of being, acting, and implementing strategies to achieve specific objectives. It is best understood as a systems approach and a systematic practice. It involves interactions between techniques, tools, methods, and people to achieve given ends. It requires skills developed through knowledge and experience in the context of managing organizations. Moral and ethical philosophies appear to guide human behavior, with codes lighting the way, shaping those behaviors. Managing as a way of being and doing management needs also to be moral and ethical if trust is to exist within the broader economic system. While doing things right may be the clear province of efficiency, doing the right things is the province of ethics and morality. Management involves the coordination of human and material resources to achieve a given end. And we speak of people managing organizations, managing their personal affairs, managing themselves, managing others, and so on. And groups and individuals are at the heart of management. And sometimes groups have different objectives to the individuals that comprise those groups. So it's a social practice. And that's how I would describe management, as a social practice. It's neither science nor art, but rather a social practice which some regard as social science. And that simply means social knowledge. But I would go beyond social knowledge and imbue practice at the center of management, as indeed did Peter Drucker. He was ever concerned with the practice of management. And it's only through the practice of management that skills can be developed and honed. There are four basic elements related to the practice of management. The first is about setting objectives. The second is people. The third is techniques and tools. And the fourth is an organization, which is part of a system. The division of work is central to how we construct and manage organizations. We plan, we set objectives, we assemble resources, we make investments in resources, we may need capital to do so, and we set about the tasks of managing to achieve the given objectives that have been set in the planning processes. In the next episode of Managing, I'm going to talk about some of the early writers that focused their attention to what management ought to be. It's a normative study of management through the writing. And I'm going to explore those early writers to see how that shaped modern management in the digital age. So join me next time to find out more about management and managing. I'm Tony Hines, I'm signing off, and I'll see you next time in the Chain Reaction Podcast. Bye for now. Chain Reaction Podcast was written, presented, and produced by Tony Hines.